Welcome to Wandsworth Radio. This is Wayne Carter, and this is Driving You Homo. Woo! The radio show slash podcast where we just waffle nonsense. And today I'm joined in the studio with the beautiful, the talented, the gorgeous Dixie Delight from The Vixen. Say hello, Dixie.
Hello, everyone, and hello, Wayne. Thanks for having me.
Ooh, yay. I've got two out of the three Vixens now, so I'm collecting them all like Pokemon.
It's like a
great
hat trick,
yeah. Yeah, so all we need is woo.
Woo Adams.
Woo Adams. And then I've completed a set. But yeah, so if you're a first-time listener to Driving You Homo, this next hour is going to be about queer news and events, queer culture, talking about the LGBT community and the sphere within it, as well as talking about just waffly nonsense that connects to both me and my guest. If you are a first-time listener, please don't, if you can't listen to the full hour live, you can download it on all of the social media apps. It is available on podcast form, so please do find it. And if you do enjoy the craziness that we talk about, please share it with your friends, because I like talking. So that is a thing that we're going to do. Now, Dixie, let's first start with, how did we meet? How do we know each other?
I think we met at the Lip Sync. Was it Lip Sync War? I've already forgotten.
Was that the one at, Halfway to Heaven or Two Brewers?
It was at the Two Brewers in Clapham. There was a, I think, competition for Stonegate pubs about basically all the bars around the country. They entered Lip Sync Act, didn't they? And then it was the final, I think it was.
It was the semi-final before it went to Birmingham, because there was the final was in Birmingham. And I was just like, oh, because Birmingham is traditionally the queer capital of the UK. So
is it? Brighton.
No.
It's Brighton.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I'm from Brighton, and Brighton is the queer capital of the UK.
I mean, and that's why I would kind of get a gag at it. I was like, oh, okay, so it's not in the capital city, it's not London, and it's not in the queer capital, which I would assume would be, as a foreigner, hello, for those of you playing the home game, I'm Australian. I would have thought that it would have been Brighton as well. So Birmingham, though in saying that, there are a couple of very talented queens that are coming out from Birmingham at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, do you know Why She Black? Is she from Birmingham?
I have not heard the name, no.
Okay, Why She Black? I have a feeling that Why She Black is from Birmingham. She just recently competed in another drag competition. So
I saw a couple of rounds of that, but the early ones, so yeah. I didn't really get into...
And then Crayola is one of the other drag queens that was in NADC, who also managed to get gigs with the Club Kids.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, Club with Alyssa Edwards and Shangela and all that jazz. Mm. So Crayola's doing well for herself as well. And someone else who was in NADC who you might know, whose drag name I've completely... Kate Butch.
Kate Birch, love her. She's in Drag Idol. She's actually competing tonight in the Drag Idol semi-final at Halfway to Heaven.
Halfway to Heaven, yeah.
Wishing her and everyone good luck.
All the best. Well, last night, because the semi-finals for, RVT, Royal Vauxhall Tavern.
It was the RVT semi-final,
had people like Felix LaFreak and Vivian Lindsay and Poppycock and
there was Roxy Gore.
Yeah.
Lady Windsor Rose, and then what's the other one?
Was there a king?
No, there wasn't. In tonight's semi-final at Halfway to Heaven, there is a drag king, Zane Valak, who is fabulous.
Yeah,
I've seen him at the RVT. Honestly, so entertained.
I'm really excited for. I'm very gagged to see what's going to, because Vivian Lindsay won last night.
She was
deservedly so.
Yeah,
100% deservedly so. She is a fantastic performer and certainly deserves it. Kind of gagged that Felix, and I think a lot of other people would have been a little bit. I didn't see her routine, but I know her well enough to know she's a very consummate performer.
Yeah.
So to have someone overtake her must mean that Vivian is like. Stormed at that specific night.
Well, I was there at the RVT last night, and I have to say everyone was
phenomenal.
The whole great in terms of drag idol. I think this year is honestly so like
fantastic. Well, I thought, and I was talking to, I want to say it was Shay Gade that I was talking to about a couple of weeks ago when the first heat at Halfway to Heaven was, and I was, do you remember when you were judging and I was just there being a judgy cow, just walking around, be like, you were gross. Even that night, there was first heat of Halfway to Heaven, first round.
And that was great.
And that was, there were, little elements of routines. I was like, oh, if you just tighten this part up, or if you do this, then it will be, next level amazing. And I was just like, but even those things were, minor things. That I'm just like, you already got the, Eat a Pussy Rex.
I really liked her.
They were the fact that they weren't a drag queen, they weren't a drag king, they were drag barbarian. So they've reinvented their whole genre of drag. And then I was like, the only critique that I had for them was that their music, they just needed to pretty much make sure that their tracks were sorted out because they had sound issues. And I was like, well, aside from that, realistically, there was nothing really major that I could, I could nitpick some things, but,
the only thing for me from that was, and I think it's the case of a lot of people who do, the 15-minute sets or 10-minute sets for Drag Idol, is editing, and not in terms of traditional, editing on a computer, the sound or whatever. It's editing your actual act and what you're doing for 10 minutes so that it's interesting, unexpected, doesn't drag.
doesn't drag.
Because sometimes, they'll do a song and you'll think, okay, I've heard this for 2 minutes and now I'm starting to get bored.
Because I said that to Poppycock as well. So Poppycock, that was her first, I met her via Instagram because I'm one of those Instagram famous people with the tens of followers. It's great. I found her on Instagram and I was talking to her and I was... we were living our best life and stuff, and then she posted that she was going to be doing her first ever heat, and I said, I'll come down and support you 100%. So I went down to support, and that's why I was there, one of the reasons why I was there. I said to her after she did her routine, I was like, I don't know what you did at the start, because she tried to do banter at the top, and it came off very oh, you're fat and disgusting, and I was like, oh, babe, you are coming from, you can't do that straight off the bat, as an insult comic. You cannot just come for someone just like that straight away.
It's a case of winning people around and being seen from an audience perspective to be someone who that they
can
connect with. In order to make those kinds of more risque jokes.
Exactly, and that's what I said to her. I was like, as someone who is the bottom rung of I am the dregs of the drag scene, I can say that kind of stuff because I'm coming from a position of not a position of privilege, so people will not, they'll be like, oh, Wayne's just calling me a fool, look at him, he's no better. So whereas she looked actually phenomenal, and she has a really good really good act, and so I just said just tone it up a little bit and you'll be great. And then she did that, took that critique on board, not that she had to, took that critique on board, went to Admiral Duncan, and
she won stormed it. And she's going to be performing at the Admiral Duncan for Pride as well.
So
and tonight, sorry, not tonight, last night for the her semi-final at the RVT. Because we saw her before, she was a lot better.
Yeah,
and this is the only case of taking on the critique.
And this is probably
a matter of weeks.
Yeah, this is, and Halfway to Heaven was her first ever performance in terms of her drag.
Yeah.
So she's. She's someone who's one to watch in terms of performing and editing herself and going on that journey. But let's put on a song. Because it's hot, I'm going to put on a song. And it is Fever by insert name of artist here, Piggly. Let's do that. Fever. You got Fever?
I don't know this song. Oh, this song.
Fever. Like Bublé. It's like a drag staple. I'll tell you a joke about, I'll tell you a story about this song after it's played, but this is Fever by Peggy Lee.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care.
Welcome back to Wandsworth Radio. This is Wayne Carter with Dixie Delight from the Vixens, and we are driving you homo.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne. Let's talk about quickly, because we're talking about editing and how good we are. I'm actually really proud of us. As someone who waffles complete nonsense all the time, we're actually doing well for time. Mm. We're 14 minutes in, yeah. And we've done
a whole section,
pretty much all of the show that we needed. Like, so thank you, Dixie, for coming in, because you're keeping me to task. It's great. Wow. Let's talk.
Okay.
About the biggest thing in the queer sphere at the moment, which is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, yeah. I wondered what you were going to say. I hoped it was like PG, but yes, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, it's always going to be when on the radio, it's always going to be PG. Mm. So yeah, so RuPaul's Drag Race season 10, episode, insert name of episode here. They did their what they call it, like evil version of themselves.
Yeah, so
what did you feel, how did you feel about that? Cuz I was in two minds about that.
I thought it was an interesting challenge,
yep.
In terms of it's kind of a reinvention of the superhero versus villain challenge from All Stars 1.
Yep.
And I liked it, but I don't know that anyone particularly really
shone.
Knocked it out of the park in terms of what it was trying to achieve. But I have to say, Aquaria did well. Didn't like the second outfit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rue was raving about it, but
yeah,
I think
it was a weird, like, I think it was like high fashion or something. I'm like, okay, wow, cool. Go Aquaria.
And I actually really liked Asia's.
I loved Asia's evil one.
Challenge. Yeah,
the stock standard catsuit was great, or leotard or whatever it was. Mm. That was great as well, but like it was very standard drag, I think. But the her evil version was just miles away from anything she usually does, and that's so I think that's why it was so phenomenal.
Well, I like that, though, that her first outfit was essentially the kind of very extremely polished, pageanty kind of thing that she does, because that's what she's been known for before the show. So it's for her, it's kind of like a cocoon moment in terms of this is what people see me as, and this is what I really want to be, like, super polished. Mm. But at the end of the day, I can also do this other thing.
Yeah.
So she's used the challenge to her advantage.
And 100%.
She's done well throughout the season. She's had a couple of hiccups, but I'd happily see her in the final and happy to see her win, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, I'm... I'm happy for her to win as well. She did very well. She did very well that episode. I would have preferred, from an aesthetic point of view, or from like a producer's point of view, I would have preferred them do the good versus evil and then have a third just their neutral, I think. So
another runway.
Yeah. Well, they've done three runways before at this stage. Well, like season 5 did it. Yeah. So
it depends how they do it, though, because this is top 5, and usually of top 4 they'll do like three looks and or a music video or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think we've still got another competitive episode left, I think.
Yeah, no, I think next episode is going to be like a Todrick Hall is coming in and going to do a lip sync dancing number.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the journey. But so it's going to be really interesting to see how Aquaria deals with that, because she's very much
she's
a look
not,
queen.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I would have preferred, from a sort of producer's point of view, I would have preferred to have the good versus evil, like, on your shoulders, and have them come out either side.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's like an video editing, and then have the like drag queen in the middle going, this is who I am, and then having the good versus evil fight, like, you can do it, no, you can't do it, and then like having the drag queen in the middle sort of like, you know, having that sort of, I thought that would have been a better editing kind of thing.
Speaking of editing, though, that would be a great idea for a lip sync. If you've got access to a video projector, do it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's my challenge to you.
So any drag performers out there that are listening, please do. And I know that there are several drag queens that listen to Driving You Homo that are London-centric that aren't just my friends.
Oh.
So I was very proud of that.
Hello, drag queens of London.
Hello.
And beyond.
I was at Taylor Trash's hoedown on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights? Yeah, sure. Wednesday nights at in Clapham.
Is she okay now?
Street Syndicate.
Hoedown? That was a bad joke. That was a bad joke.
Well, I mean,
I'm not a comedy queen.
Yeah, at least you can sing. That's
like
all
Eureka,
I've got to say.
I rely on my size.
My, your body?
And pulling weird faces.
Babe, you and me both. I was at Taylor Trash's gig, and Flick the Bean, who was also in NADC, and she was in the finals at the RVT, she came up to me and she was like, Wayne, I listen to Driving You Home all the time. It's really funny. So I know of
so
her.
So you have fans. That's what you're trying to say. I just want to
tell people that people who are established or semi, like, who are doing well in competitions are coming up to me and saying that they listen to the show, and to which I say, yeah, that's right. I am great. So that's, I just want people to love me. That's what I want. That's all I want.
That's evidently obvious just by looking at you.
Oh, my God. Thanks, babe. oh, wait. That was a read, wasn't it? I just realized. I was like, oh, I love. Oh, damn. I've had a moment. So I won't say who left this episode because I'm sure there's people out there who
back to
are.
Drag Race.
Yes, for Drag Race. I won't say who got eliminated, but I will say I'm sad for the person who left, but also yes. I'm not surprised in this context of this episode.
Yeah.
And maybe even the last two episodes as well.
Looking at the way that it's been presented to us in this episode, yeah.
It was very clear.
You can kind of figure out from even the first few minutes who you think is at least in the bottom two, if not going home, is what I'll say.
And that's when, and I was like, ugh. But this queen will do phenomenally well. There are certain, but I've talked about this in previous episodes. Trixie Mattel was a prime example. In her season, she was not quote unquote edited favorably, but then she went out, did her own thing, edited the things she wanted to do in her way, and then made a splash. And huzzah! Now she's current reigning All-Stars 3, Shangela.
Well, because the thing is, at the end of the day, there's a difference between being a good drag queen and being a good contestant on a reality show. And those two things sometimes go hand in hand, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Like Trixie, as you say, is a good example of that, because she wasn't particularly good at being on Drag Race. Yeah. See All-Stars 3 for details, even though she won. Hashtag Shangela was robbed. But out of Drag Race, she's made an absolute killing.
Yeah.
She's done music. She's done
comedy. Same can be said for Shangela as well. Yeah. Really, like from her previous seasons, All Stars, 100%. She did. I agree with you. Deserve to win, but I'm not gonna say that Trixie also didn't deserve it as well. So, but like you know, let's
see. The thing is, I went into All Stars 3 being very pro Trixie.
Oh, yeah,
I loved Trixie.
Yeah.
But yeah, throughout the season, you know, you try and justify things for the person that you like, and then it gets to a point where you're like, oh god, I'll just
So I had that in season 10 with the person who left this episode. I was giving them justifications, but they'll do phenomenally well. Yeah. So I don't have any issues there.
Can I say a controversial opinion about this season?
No, how dare you? This is a safe space for everyone.
So season 10, okay, it is a worse season in my opinion than season 7.
Season and 7.
Everyone hates season 7.
Was Violet Trotchy. Yeah. Okay. You.
Just because the challenges this season haven't been great and no one's really given anything memorable. The Snatch game wasn't good. There's not been any particularly iconic runways that really spring into my mind from this whole season. All this season reminds me of is Miss Vanjie.
The two things that I will take away from. I don't disagree with you. The two things that I will take away from this season to date is Miss Vanjie. That is a cultural phenomenon that has
reshaped. Into straight culture, even.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe it.
They don't even know what it means half the time.
Yeah, they're just saying it. So Miss Vanjie and Monique Hart, the heart of season 10. I just think that she is one of the... Like, her, maybe, and What's Her Chops from last season didn't win.
Season 9 didn't win. What from who got quite far?
Yeah, who was in the top? Like lip sync. What?
Shea Coulee? Who are you talking about?
Did you say Shea G'day?
No, Coulee.
Oh, Shea Coulee. No, Shea Coulee.
What, someone?
The other one. Not Trinity, the other one.
Oh, Peppermint.
Peppermint, thank you. Oh, my brain just like snapped. So Monique Hart and Peppermint, for me, in the last sort of 3 or 4 seasons, are the queens that I'm remembering as like the very polished in what they do, very high, like they know their brand, but also I can see even from the show that they're genuinely beautiful humans outside of the show,
and they struggle as well, they have a
journey that they're going on, and like they are having to fight the fire, but also you can see that, like, you could sit down and have a kiki with them, like, no problem.
100%.
Whereas there's other ones like Trinity, I'd be like, ugh, Like, you're a great performer, but, like, could I sit down and have a half an hour chat with you?
The thing with Monique as well that's become really, really apparent in this season, obviously, every season things kind of elevate and elevate and elevate to a certain point. And she's a real reminder and example of someone who's going to Drag Race without the money to be, you know, on Drag Race as it is now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it just shows you the, like, level of privilege that people have, because she's never going to win.
100%.
But it's not her fault, and, like, you should be judged based on your talent, but unfortunately it's just...
I have that similar issue constantly. As a highly feminine look queen that I am, I get all of the gigs, and I'm just sad for those people who don't. So,
well, you know. Is this Upside Down Day? Are we in Australia?
I mean, we should be, because I would probably get more money there. So let's put a pause in that. We've talked about Drag Race. Let's put a pause in that. Let's put on a song.
Why not?
And then we'll go into talking about some of the news and current events that have happened within the queer sphere in the last. And I will talk to you about what happened to me this week. I won't talk to you about in great detail, but I went on a journey this week, and I think it's very interesting.
Oh.
Otherwise, this is my home gal, Holly Valance, with... Do you know the song?
I can't know. I can't remember any of her songs. I remember I like her, but that's Kiss Kiss.
Mwah. Yeah, it is. That was Holly Valance with Kiss Kiss, and before that was Fever by Peggy Lee. And I just remembered when I started playing Holly Valance that I needed to tell a little bit of a story. I've done a lip sync mashup song with Fever because I think it's a good song. You got Fever, and
is it mashed up with Down with the Sickness because it's about Fever?
I mean, that...
Have I just ruined your joke?
I mean, no, that's actually...
Or is that more funny?
That's probably more funnier, if I'm real.
Okay, no, tell me your joke.
I've done in it, and it's so cheap and tacky, and it's so stupid, but I've just entered in fart sounds every so often, like at the end of Fever, and just pretending like I've got irritable bowel, which...
I would believe that of you.
I mean, and that's why I did it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the journey I'm on. Everyone, yeah. Like, because I'm a high feminine beauty that, like, would never be seen to, like, I'm like the Madonna of the drag scene.
In that we can't get rid of you. I'm on fire tonight.
Oh, babe, as the comedy queen of the Vixens, how dare.
That's what people accuse me of occasionally, but honestly, like Eureka, it's just because I'm larger in comparison.
Yeah.
I'm an average size, I feel, but because I'm larger than the other
average
two.
Average to, what, a walrus? Or
see what how rude. But because the other two on stage with me are so skinny
emaciated,
and tall.
Yeah.
In comparison, I look like a whale.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a size disparity, but it's all sliding scale.
I just play on it, and
you'd be stupid not to, I think.
Like the other week, I dressed up as the queen.
And I love that photo.
It was just, I just like to have a bit of fun sometimes.
But I'm in a similar journey to you in terms of we are in the queer community and we are plus size, and that's the journey we're on. And there are people that have labels and stuff and talk about things like twinks and bears and cubs and that kind of stuff. I have issues with people sometimes who just have one type.
They'll only go for twinks, who are vapid and have no personality.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Like, that's
not
like,
everyone. Not, disclaimer: yeah. Not everyone is like that.
But that's the rub. It's just like there is that expectation, and there's a stereotype, and there's people just assume that that's what people are into, and it's just like, fair enough. You can be interested sexually in whoever you want to be interested in sexually, but let's not just close off. Like, there are...
From the chocolate box.
You know, exactly. I am a nice strawberry chocolate. Or caramel. No, hazelnut, because I'm a bit nutty.
You are.
Yeah. But For me, how do you feel about being a plus-size drag queen or a plus-size gay man even in the queer community? Are you for it? Are you against it? Are you neutral? Like, have you had any... Because I am also a plus-size drag queen performer and gay man. So I have my maybe Australian sensibilities and I want to see if we have similar sensibilities in our journey.
Well, it's interesting because basically as... For as long as, you know, being at school as a teenager, I always thought I was plus size.
Right.
And then looking back, you know, you look at old photos and you're like, actually, I was kind of fit at, like, certain points in my life.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you let yourself go because you're like, well, I'm fat anyway. Because you don't realise. And it is a difficult thing to struggle with, but it's not something that really, since doing drag, to be honest, I have struggled with. Just because you kind of learn to embrace it in those comedic moments. And also, 100%. Like... Everyone else is getting on you for those things, not actively, but it's, you know, it's a subculture.
It's a part of like the hidden, like it just happens instinctually.
So it's like, it can be difficult, but like I don't think that it phases me at this point in my life.
Good.
And in terms of being a plus size queen, I think, you know, they're on the scene in London and beyond. There are a lot of plus size queens. The influence of Drag Race perhaps means that people expect you to be skinnier or pressure you to maybe be skinnier
and younger.
But then this is the thing, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm a younger, we'll say younger, plus size, you know, air quotes, queen, and there's not really a lot of people like me around, particularly, if that makes sense. When I think of your plus-size queens, well, your
style, your style of drag, or the drag that you associate with as Dixie, is, I don't want to say not traditional or conventional, but like that.
We're like a strange blend of traditional things, but also like quite contemporary.
And that's what I like.
Some say
about
edgy,
you.
Some say
chaotic. I mean,
That was, you know, that was our first ever quote we got when we started Drag Idol about 3 years ago. Our first review from our first ever heat at the Two Brewers, when we looked like crap, was from Dave Cross of Boys Magazine.
I love Dave Cross.
And he said to us, oh, chaotic girl group, the Vixens. Actually, maybe he didn't say it in his critiques. I think he said it in the magazine on his coverage. And since then, we've just embraced it because an accurate thing.
Do you want to hear what he called me?
Oh,
Dave Cross, the Hagrid of the London drag scene. And I went, how dare you be 100% accurate?
It's a compliment. It means that you are but that, a caring soul.
And that's what he said. Like, he's just like, I have so much time and respect for that man. I have so much time and respect for that man.
He does a lot of very positive work, I think, in the community.
I think so,
don't
too.
Really always take into consideration.
Exactly, 100%. But yeah, so he's a beautiful human. Speaking of other beautiful humans, I was recently, this week, spoiler alert.
Yeah, tell me about your week.
I was invited, because I do Driving You Homo, a global show, by the way. People listen globally.
Oh, where?
It is.
Where's the most obscure place that they listen?
Oh, I will try and remember that.
You'll figure it out.
I'll try and remember that in the top of my head, like the names of the countries.
Mars. But,
not quite. God of Mars, that'd be awesome. So Driving You Homo is a community on community radio, which is Wandsworth Radio, which you're listening to now potentially, but also it is available on podcast form, which you can download anywhere good podcasts are found, and it's on so many, Dad, like it's on Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Spotify, it's like it's on everything. Anyway, so what was I saying? I was invited. Someone heard the show from the a very prominent radio station in Britain. It's a very popular British broadcasting corporation. They heard the show and they were like, "Hey, Wayne, you're great. Do you want to come in and do the radio?"
Amazing.
Which is for me.
And so you walked in and they were like, "Hi, Chris Moyles, how are you?" No.
No. Okay. No. They brought me in. And for someone who, and we were talking about body image and plus size and stuff like that, for someone who was a young queer boy who grew up on a farm in Central Australia to now be, you know, being invited to a very established radio station and being able to perform in very established venues in central London. For me, it's a big deal, so very sort of proud about that.
Well, your success is what you think of it and what you make of it.
Exactly.
If you think about the success that you might have now that you don't think about in your daily life, when 10 years ago, if you'd have told yourself you were doing those things, you'd been like, I am the best person ever.
If I told myself even 5 years ago that I would be doing the things I'm doing, I'd be like, come on now. Like, really? So, like, I mean, I'm like, we all have those moments, and I think it's important to sort of look, like you said, look back and just go, like, be reflective and go, like, actually, what I'm doing is amazing. I might be in a bit of a... So, like, I'm in a bit of a rut at the moment financially and with gigs and stuff like that, but, you know, you just go on those journeys. But let's slide back to the plus size thing, because I was talking... You talked about how you are fairly confident. Did you say that the drag helped you?
100%.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, my overall journey, shall we say, when I started drag, it was at a moment in my life where I guess felt like completely like lost in general. And suddenly drag happened, and it was like a whirlwind of things.
Yep.
And, you know, then you're working constantly, and it kind of changed your perspective in life. Like, at the point where I first did drag, I hadn't performed.
Right.
Like, I went to uni and did drama, but it was... You know, I was like, my dreams are over, I've not done anything, all that kind of thing. And like, I just got out of a long-term relationship. All those things are happening. And yeah, drag came at a moment in my life. And people say, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, like on Drag Race, they're like, drag's changed my life, drag saved my life. But it really does for the positive for me.
Yeah.
Since then, you know, I've been doing a lot of theatre work with Two Box Productions.
Ooh, we will plug that in a bit.
And, like, obviously, the Vixens, we perform, you know, at least once or twice a week.
Yep.
Sometimes more, depending how we've incorrectly scheduled ourselves for, like, 6 gigs a week, like, something stupid. I mean, that's rare, but...
I mean, it happens. When they want you, they want you, babe.
True. But, yeah, in terms of my overall confidence, it helped me because it's kind of like putting on a mask. And I, at times, can be, like, reasonably... Not so much anymore, but reasonably socially anxious, and it really gave me a means to force me to talk to people, but also the confidence to do so.
I think we come from a very similar place. I suffer from severe anxiety and depression. So I come across as very like, woohoo, life's amazing. Like, I'm Thorgy Thor. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, like, I'm very much that, but that's a wall, that's a facade to keep out, to protect myself from, you know. I also, I can never remember the term for it, but I don't do well in crowds. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable in crowds. So, but I always want to be a part of crowds.
Yeah.
So the reasoning or the way I found around that was to start performing and be in those venues, but have the stage. So I had all this space to be in that venue while having like space to feel comfortable. So it was a weird one there. I'm also, while we're talking about plus size and stuff, I started feeling more body positive and more body confident. It's a sliding journey, but I started feeling more comfortable when I started doing burlesque. So that is something. I'm gonna try and get up and do this.
Well, it's funny you mentioned burlesque, because burlesque, I'd actually, until the first time I ever did drag, never seen a drag queen or a drag show.
Oh, wow.
So the first kind of access into that cabaret world I had was going to see burlesque through friends of mine who worked in that field. And it made me think, maybe I'll try doing some burlesque.
Wow,
and at the time I was like, maybe I'll do like a half drag, like genderqueer.
Yeah, so that's what thing. I do at the moment.
I never actually got around to doing it. But at the shortly afterwards, I fell into the actual drag, and I was like, oh. So it was always a thing, I think, that probably would have happened in the end.
Yeah, it's a weird, almost cathartic thing, and it's very, I think it's a beautiful thing. Let's play a song, and then we will talk about some of the notes. Let's do that. Let's play Grace Kelly by
Mika.
I'm going to talk to you.
Oh,
And we're back again.
Uh-huh. We're Rick driving. Morris, girl.
Yes. let's do some news and current events. Let's start with something. I've got a couple. Unfortunately, usually I go on the social media and the apps and the computers and stuff.
What kind of apps?
But all of the apps. There's some real high tea that I can't share with the listeners because it's not safe for broadcasting
Chet
rules.
Wayne's Facebook story.
But just know that it's going to get hectic. Yes. Yeah. Check my Instagram story at Wayne Carter. I rub it on about all that stuff. So what I've done, because I know the computers here, sadly, at the moment are a bit wonky, and that I open a page and then it just closes out. But I will say, first news thing that I noticed: Jerry Marin. You probably don't know who Jerry Marin is. He was one of the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh yes.
He was one of the young folk in the Lollipop Guild. We represent the Lollipop Guild.
Yeah.
He's just recently this week passed away at the age of 98. So a little bit sad face, but he was the last surviving Munchkin from The Wizard of Oz. Mm. So I mean, to get to 98, it's a good innings, and Wizard of Oz was made in 1940
something ridiculous, wasn't it?
It was either the year before or after the war, so it's either 1944 or 1945, because it was at the end.
Wartime film. Yeah, it was the rainbows. So yeah, followed the yellow road. Like, yeah, very positive.
Yeah, it was all like life's gonna be great, rah, 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 that kind of stuff. So yeah, he sadly passed away, which is sad. Did you watch Wizard of Oz? Are you very much? Are you a friend of Dorothy?
I am a friend of the dog, actually, Toto.
Oh. Do you know what a friend? I hate you so much. Do you know what a friend of Dorothy is?
Yeah, it is a person who is most likely to be a gay man.
Yes,
I believe.
Historically,
yes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to assume.
Yeah, no, it's very it's an old school. Yeah. Like, after Wizard of Oz came out, gay men, when it wasn't a safe space for people to be gay men, and we will talk about that in a second, it's another news thing that we're going to waffle on about, but they couldn't really come out and say, oh, hey, I'm gay, so mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, I'm a friend of Dorothy's.
Yeah.
So, you know, like...
What makes sense? Judy Garland is an icon.
Yeah, exactly. But you know how, like, at bars you can go, oh, ask for Angela at the bar, if you ask for Angela, that means that, you know, you're in a not safe space.
Well, there's a lot of, codes like that from back in the day when things are a bit, I'll say less safe.
Yeah. Well, that's where Cockney rhyming slang came into play.
Yeah, Polari. Yeah. And there's the handkerchief code, which we won't go into.
Oh, I love the handkerchief code. Google the queer handkerchief code, because that is...
I don't know if it has a specific name or not.
Well, I think Google handkerchief code, that should be enough.
Let's try it. not now.
There's a video about that, actually, that... Harry
Potter.
I mean, not far off. He has glasses and he's a tiny man. Harry Clayton Wright, I think his name is.
Oh, you know that name.
Yeah,
why do I know that name?
He's in Briefs. He's one of the young English boy from Briefs. So, he did a video about the handkerchiefs, but I can't remember. I think it was more a music song from someone whose name is Brendan McLean. Or Brandon McLean, I can never remember. Ugh. And then it had the handkerchief stuff in there as well as part of his music song. But yeah.
But yes, Dorothy, Wizard of Oz. I've seen it several times over the years. And it's one of those films that is a classic. And I think if you can appreciate older films for what they are, you know... It's one of the great ones.
Yeah, 100%. But I'm massively for musicals and musical theatre and that. Mm-hmm. Like, Doris Day, give me an old school, I'm a young, pretty woman. I need to find a man. I found a man. Sexist, misogynist, that kind of stuff. But
Well, there's a lot of musicals that are of their time, that you listen to them back and you think, why is this... a popular musical.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Calamity Jane recently with Doris Day. You know what? Go on that journey with me, everyone. If you don't know who Doris Day is or Calamity Jane, please do Google them. Mm-hmm. But there's a song in there called A Woman's Touch where co-actress is trying to teach Doris Day how to not be Calamity Jane, how to not be rough and ready, and how to be a more feminine woman. So she's a more mask woman, and this other character is being like, hey, Calamity, you can be more feminine, be more like, have a woman's touch.
Yeah.
Use a broom, it's a bit more cook fair some lady. Dinner. Like yeah, very much that. And I was just like, oh, this is so, yeah. Like, oh. But also, it's funny to look back and go, oh, look how far we've come. These yeah. are the journeys, and kind of stuff.
I think there's a lot of great things to come out, and iconic things to come out of, like, old cinema like that, though. Mm. Like, I love Some Like It Hot and...
Marilyn Monroe.
Freudian
slip.
That's different. All About Eve, like, all of those classics, which maybe aren't the most high-paced and exciting... Mm. Things, but they are classics for a reason.
Well, like that's when Alaska did it for Snatch Game when she was, what was her name? I want to say May.
Oh, May West.
May West.
Oh, why don't you
come see me in the sometime?
Actually a really great SNL sketch where Melissa McCarthy plays a May West style
character. Does similar.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you come see me upstairs sometime?
It's like,
it's quite funny, really.
I'm very easily amused. Yeah, no, I know, I remember it because she tries to walk up the stairs and keeps falling down the stairs. Yeah,
I relate to her.
Yeah, yes, she is my spirit animal. Speaking of spirit animals, and not only Melissa McCarthy is a spirit animal, but also Dolly Parton is a spirit animal to me. She's just recently announced...
Did you say Della Parton?
Dolly Parton?
I don't know. Maybe I've heard you wrong.
Let's just say Dolly. Dolly Parton. Yeah. Dolly mm-hmm. Parton. I have had issues with talking to people today. I've said some names wrong today. It's a hot it's a hot day. I'm a bit confused. So Dolly Parton has teamed up with Netflix for a new show based on her hits, and it's going to be very Mamma Mia style, using her songs and then going.
Is it
going
to be called 9 to 5 though?
Oh, I mean, it'd be stupid
because
not to.
That's the obvious.
Yeah. That'd be stupid not to. Speaking of new movies or new shows that are out,
that'll be a show on Broadway before you know it.
100%. Pose. Did you see Pose?
What's that?
Ryan Murphy's new. Oh, you need to see this.
Oh, it's the
1980s ball scene.
Yeah, the queer ballroom drama. Is it drama or comedy? What is it?
I think drama. I think more drama.
Docudrama.
Yeah,
style.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Docudrama. So Ryan Murphy has done this. Ryan Murphy, for those playing the home game, is a creator of things like Glee and American Horror Story and Feud. So he is kicking goals in terms of the queer sphere and the crazy things that are maybe left of center. He's come out with Pose, and Pose is, as Dixie said, part of the... like a docudrama of the 1980s in terms of the AIDS crisis and the ballroom scene and people who are black, Asian and mixed ethnicity or minority ethnics coming out and being in the forefront. Trans women as well being in the forefront of a TV show, which I think is a phenomenal
thing. It's fabulous because it really means that you're going to have... literally the most diverse show ever.
100%.
And it's a great light on people who have talents who don't always get the opportunities because of, you know, a binary or a heteronormative or a whitewashed kind of industry.
Yeah,
at the end of the
very
day.
Much so. The amount of times, and I'll say it over and over and over again, the amount of whitewashing that happens. Like, yes, I acknowledge that I am a white male, so I have the privileges that come with that. But I do recognise that things like having what's-her-face, who was in that Asian, like the white chick, who looks like she's an elf, I can never remember her name, and she was like a Shaolin monk in a Western remake of an Asian-style movie. And I was just like, ugh, like, what are you doing? Like, why have you not got at least Jackie Chan or something? Like, if you want someone, I was so frustrated. I was like, you're whitewashing. You're putting a white woman in a traditionally Asian-centric role.
Well, this is the problem with American cinema, really, though, because they're building it for a mass American and international market, which is more likely to...
Yeah.
I guess associate and accept people who are white, even in instances where it makes no sense. Like, do you remember that Prince of Persia film where Jake Gyllenhaal
was Arabic. He's got a tan. Yeah, he's from Persia.
Really makes sense.
Oh,
it just, yeah.
It's going to irritate me. I want to know the name of the actress.
Though, really interesting, I did see a trailer recently online for, it's essentially your standard romantic comedy, kind of like the man's
Jurassic
really
World?
Rich. No.
Okay.
The man's really rich and the girl likes, was dating him for years. They get engaged and then she realises, like, he basically tells her, actually, I'm really rich.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those kind of chick flicks. Yeah. But, plot twist, everyone in it was Asian.
Wow.
And cool. I was like, this is amazing because it's basically what should be happening.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But I mean,
I can't remember what it's called. Maybe Google it, because I don't know if it's out yet or if it's a big movie. But
one of my favorite, and it's considered world cinema, which is, I think, is, I mean, it is what it is. Paris, Je t'aime, which is a collection of short movies to do with being in love with Paris. So it has some people who are French speaking. It has people that are English speaking. And it has famous, like, people like Elijah Wood are in it, Anne Hathaway are in it. Not Anne Hathaway, chick from Star Wars.
The new Star Wars ones.
No, well, like, she was Padme in Star Wars.
Oh,
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, yeah.
Natalie Portman was in it. Gerard Depardieu, among others. The guy who was in Point Break, I can never remember, the older guy.
Oh, I don't know.
Even I'm struggling with that one. But yeah, so like that for me, I was just like, this is quintessential, like the cross between like English movies and what's considered world cinema, which is everything else, which is I think is ridiculous. We will talk about one more news thing, and then we will have to wrap it up and plug our stuff. But RuPaul's Drag Race producer has just dropped a hint suggesting that the UK version of Drag Race might be coming in the near future.
There's hints like this we've had in the past.
I know. Because Jonathan Ross was supposed to be hosting it, I think has layers of
The rumour has been that he owns the rights for it with his production company Hot Sauce. But I've also heard contradictory rumours that he doesn't own the rights. So who can possibly say what it is? I think if it were to happen in the next kind of 2 years would probably be the time. I feel like it's really getting to that point where you've had 10 seasons of Drag Race.
Yeah.
They need to kind of shake something up. They've just done Drag Race Thailand.
Thailand, yeah.
I think it would be both a good and bad thing for the scene. But
it would be interesting to see how everything rolls. Yeah. Like, would they stay with the same model? Because I was having this conversation with someone else recently, is that the drag scene in the UK versus the drag scene in America, there are different elements to it. Like the Boulay Brothers, for example, very American, and they do their sort of horror drag or whatever they want to describe it as. But yeah, you've got your sort of established campy UK.
I think if you were being very fair and educated about it, you'd probably have to change the format in some ways. But being Americans, I feel like they probably would just want to do what they want to do.
Exactly.
Which would leave a lot of queens out in the cold. And also, I think they would pass over a lot of established queens, mostly just... And it
based
would be lots
aesthetics.
Of social media stars and that kind of thing. Well, I say stars, people with followings.
Yeah. Well, I've had this issue. Like, do you know the TV show Taskmaster?
Vaguely.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's when they have celebrity performers, comedians, that kind of stuff, come in and do tasks. And it's funny, it's a really good show. I watch it a lot. Greg Davies is the host of it. But they recently got a version of it made. And the American version is just horrendous. And it's just like, it's the same with like The Office UK versus The Office US. Or Kath and Kim had a moment where they tried to do it for the Americans and they just didn't get it. So I think they would be stupid if they're going to do a UK version. Be stupid not to research, look into the community, which they're a part of.
Well, Michelle Visage is a very big UK fan, so I feel like she would have a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
Though, if you look at Drag Race Thailand, the formula is essentially the same as Drag Race US. So I don't know how flexible they would be, because it's essentially the brand that and the format that they've built over the years that they know works.
Fair enough. So.
But yeah, I've recently worked on a TV show which is kind of a docu-reality drag thing.
Yeah.
And so I've heard things, but like nothing that anyone should be currently explicitly like very excited about.
Yeah.
There's like rumors are rumors, so, and like, I don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on, so it's like, yeah.
I mean,
wait and see. If you get a DM on Twitter, anyone who's listening, and they're asking you to be on Drag Race, first of all, ask who they are, because they could be lying, but also
send them my way.
Don't tell anyone, and send them my way.
Yeah, like I would, if someone messaged me, be like, hey, you want to be, the amount of people that say I should be on Drag Race, I'm just like, look at who I am.
Like, I would be out like first, like, or second.
Yeah.
Unless I really tried. I don't have the money.
Yeah, I don't have the shoes. Let's be real. Anyway, we're going to go because we're going somewhere. Where are we going tonight?
We are heading off to the Tuberose in Clapham. It's the launch night of Peach, which is a femme, fabulous, all-inclusive of everything. New club night hosted by Something Wong and Tia Coffee. They are both, obviously, are fabulous drag queens of colour in London, representing what. So, yes, they're hosting this new club night with lots of kind of...
Is it camp
music?
Yeah, is it like camp tunes? Like,
some of it's camp, some of it, they've got like a lot of like draggy stuff. They've got a lot of obscure kind of R&B, but like cool stuff. It's a cool eclectic mix, but it should be really fun. Tonight's Peach on the Beach, which is where we're heading off to. Which is why I'm dressed like a lifeguard.
That explains so much.
As a lifeguard, everyone.
Whereas I am dressed as, I don't know, a wall.
You're dressed as Wayne.
Yeah, great. Okay, excellent.
So yeah, we're off there.
Excellent. Promote Tuberox Productions are doing.
Okay, so I'm part of Tuberox Productions. We are currently working on a production of Golden Girls, a musical, which will also be at the Two Brewers on the 20th, 21st, and 28th of June. Mm-hmm. Tickets are available now from www.outsavvy.com.
Where was that again?
www.outsavvy.com.
You can just say outsavvy.com. I think everyone knows what the www is, babe.
Some people are slow. Just also, if you want to catch the Vixens, you can find us on Instagram. And Facebook at The Vixens UK, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you just search The Vixens Drag, you'll probably find us.
Yep.
We're at Halfway to Heaven most Saturday nights and around everywhere else as well. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dixie, for coming in. As always, my name is Wayne Carter. You can follow me on at one Wayne Carter on all social media. That's the number one and WAYNECARTER. Otherwise, thank you very much, Dixie.
Thanks.
Thank you to the listeners. Please follow, subscribe, share with your friends, because I want more than 5 followers.
Me too.
That's a lie. I've got lots of followers. But please do share with your friends, because the more people that listen, the more queer we get up in here. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye.